everyone. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today, for the word that we're about to read and the message that you'll use me as a conduit to share. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this room this morning. Fill each of us sitting here that we might have the ears to hear and the eyes to see what you're doing in our lives and what you want us to act out in faith to do. Remind us of our faith and what it means to have faith in you, your Son, Jesus. Father God, I pray that the words I share are not of me but yours. I pray that the worship and the prayer to follow are also led by your Holy Spirit and the thoughts that you have on your heart to share with us. You are the great and almighty God who knows us better than we know ourselves. You know what we will pray even before we do. You know what we fear and where we wish we had more faith. So, Lord, this morning I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and dwell in us as we read your word and spend time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Matthew 14, if you haven't already, and we'll read from verses 1 to 36. At the time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He himself has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Although Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod so much that he promised an oath to give her whatever she asked. And after being prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter.' And although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oath and his dinner guests. He sent word and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. John's disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went to report to Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard about this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he came ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This place is secluded and the hour is already past to eat. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go. You can give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And ordering the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up towards the heaven. He blessed the food and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Immediately afterward, he compelled the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he sent the crowds away, after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking out on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, It is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter responded and said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And when he began to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him and said, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are truly God's son.' When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent word into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick. And they pleaded with him that they might just touch the border of his cloak, and all who touched it were cured." Originally, I was scheduled to share on March 14th. And actually, since I've shared at Lent last year, I didn't expect to be sharing and being on the roster this year. Thankfully, P. Kenny shared a kind reminder on Sunday, and imagine my surprise when I saw my name. And it's been a really busy month for me with lots of travel for work. So I actually gave Pete Kenny a heads up that I might not be here, but I'm happy to pre-record my sharing. And he was really quick to reply that he had a swap for me. Because in that moment, WeCat had messaged him to say he had a last-minute work trip, but he'll be around next week. So here I am. In reading the title for the passage today, How Much Faith Do You Have?, I was pretty sure that God was chuckling at me and thinking I could get away with recording my sharing. And instead, he had a plan and wanted me to share this morning. I think God wants me to share about the season of my life where I've experienced multiple occasions where I've not had enough faith that God can do the impossible. Instead, I've allowed fear or I've taken control by making contingency plans. Much like Peter on the water, God, the incredible conqueror, who is more powerful and has performed miracles in the past and now, he's come through time and time again. And I think that's why I'm here. We all know this morning's story of Peter walking on the water. We teach it in Sunday school every year to our kids. And allow me to divert for a moment and promote SP Kids for a second. We always need more teachers, and one of the benefits of serving in this ministry is that you get to worship and learn along with our kids the miracles of Jesus, and we could always use more teachers. Jesus himself said in Mark 10:13-16, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Even if you don't think you're ready, have faith and come check us out. Back to my sharing. So as I reread this passage, I was reminded that Jesus is always two steps ahead of us in all we do. In verse 22, he encouraged the disciples to go out on the boat ahead of him, and they were a significant distance ahead when the storm started. And because they were a significant distance away, they were shocked when Jesus showed up amidst the storm. I think Jesus chose not to go with them so that he could perform two miracles at once and not just one. His first miracle was to appear despite the distance, and his second was the ability for Peter to walk on water. How often in our own circumstances do we go out on our own, get caught up in a storm, call out for Jesus, knowing he will answer, because he always does, but then when he answers, we're surprised and we're still fearful that he might not come through. And so this morning, I hope to encourage you with how God has come through for me and my family. So my first testimony, for those who don't know, Reno and I have the incredible privilege of being godparents of Estella, Teddy, and Addie. And during the fast, the morning that Addie got admitted to the hospital, my faith was much stronger, thinking it's just a cold and God will heal her. Yet in the middle of the night, when we were in fervent prayer that she would make it safely across from Hong Kong Island to Cowan Children's Hospital, I have to admit I was filled with so much fear. And I thank God for the faith of everyone who prayed. And we know that he answered our prayers because she pulled through the night, and even though there's still an incredible journey ahead of her and a journey of healing that we've already witnessed so much of God's incredible power. To be able to hold her now, play and laugh with her is an incredible testament of God's reminder to us to not fear and have faith that he can make miracles happen. And I'm reminded myself to continue to have faith that he will continue to answer our prayers and to heal her fully, and preferably sooner rather than later, so that she can be home with Marcus, Audrey, and family. My second bit of sharing is from Chinese New Year, where unfortunately my grandmother on my mom's side passed away on New Year's Eve. And overnight we had to change our travel plans to go to Japan and return to Singapore. And after finding flights, despite the busy holiday season and booking them, we then realized Reno didn't have 6 months on his passport. And Singaporeans are really strict. And so I was prepared that I would very likely be flying on my own for the first time with three kids there and back. We even called the consulate to find out, is it possible? Are there exceptions? Who told us, probably not, but you can try your luck at the airport. And when we checked in at the airport in the morning, the staff continued to say an exception has never been granted to their understanding, but given the circumstances, they'll check again with Singapore Immigration, and we just had to wait. It was probably the longest hour waiting for an answer, still doubting that the exception would be granted, mentally preparing to go on my own, but amazingly, immigration allowed him through, and instead, we were standing there explaining to our kids why we were crying at the check-in counter. At this point, I was happy because Reno was able to fly with us. And I think God knew I needed Reno on this trip, because apart from taking care of our kids physically, the bigger prayer that I had in my heart was to be together spiritually to pray over our family. and our kids, as everyone on my mom's side is Buddhist. It meant that us flying back and being present during the funeral was a lot of religious rituals that we'd have to continually pray over and pray over the spirits that might come over us. So to me, it was a miracle that Reno made it to Singapore on this trip. And it also gave us an incredible opportunity to share our faith, because we gave all the glory to God that he made it through and that immigration, you know, allowed him through. My natural tendency is to be a problem solver, to plan for plan B in case something goes wrong. And in both of these circumstances, my faith wavered, even though God time and time again has shown me his incredible power. And I'm sure I'm probably not alone in this. How often do we call out to God in our weakness, and yet our fear still seeps through? And despite the milestones that God has overcome, when faced with the new circumstances, we are in doubt. But I'm reminded that God came through not just for my faith alone, which in both instances was limited, but because I was not alone when I prayed. One of the greatest things about our faith is that we walk in faith together. God's desire is for all to know him and be saved, and we're called to share the gospel so that more of us would believe and love one another. To live out our faith requires being in community, and the early church, as an example, shared everything, physical and spiritual. Similarly, now we have our brothers and sisters to share in our spiritual journey. So here's a plug for House Church if you're not already in one, because in both situations, we went straight to House Church and our close friends to ask for prayer. And collectively, our faith is greater, and God hears us. Similarly to how Jesus reached out his hand for Peter to take courage, make sure you surround yourselves with brothers and sisters filled with the Holy Spirit to pray in faith with you. Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And you of little faith, why did you doubt?" May this be a reminder to us all that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17:20. So this morning as we pray, let us reflect on the areas in our life where God and Jesus have come through for you. And if you need a boost of faith, I pray that he would remind you of how he has the power to overcome and save. He only asked us not to doubt, but trust in his presence, trust in his Holy Spirit and his power. And I'm praying this for myself too, because an area where I continue to struggle to have faith is when it comes to the salvation of my parents and my family. I need more faith, and to keep praying that it's entirely a reality for all of them to come to know Jesus and have a relationship with him. And I'm encouraged by the testimony of friends who have had family come to know Christ after many years of prayer. And so I'll continue to pray, and I invite you to do the same for those of you around you who don't yet know Jesus. So with that, I'll invite Ernie to come up and prepare for worship as well as a time of prayer and reflection. I think we can reflect on where we're struggling to have faith, because that may be different for each one of us. Be encouraged by the reminders and the testimony today. The words from Jesus himself, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And let us also pray for those around us who do not yet know Christ and therefore don't have the privilege of faith that can move mountains.
To the end, it will will always be, it's always been your Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, center of it all. Jesus, center of my life, center of my life. Oh, Jesus, I be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been your Jesus. Oh, Jesus, nothing has Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we cry out to you for the young generation. Please have mercy on them and guard their hearts above all else, O God, for it is the wellspring of life. Let their hearts long for your word and pant for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, whilst evil ones are everywhere looking for people to devour. Please spare the young ones from all evil, especially the influence of media on them. May the Spirit of truth live among them, enabling them to discern and lead a holy life. Your words are a lamp to their feet and a light unto their path, guiding their direction so that they will no longer be lost. Restore their dreams, confidence, and creativity. May they stand firm and boldly live in truth uncompromisingly as they bear witness for the Lord. In the name of the Lord, amen.
Join us in the front, in the circle. We'll go through a few prayer points before we share our prayer requests. Let's pray first for the house church's meeting tonight or this evening, that we have a good fellowship time and good discussion. Let's pray for our missionary, India Kelly. Let's pray that in her ventures that she would have God's direction and wisdom in all that she's doing. Let us also continue praying for healing over Hazel, Isaac, and Eddie. So I guess in response to Amanda's message, let's pray for our family members who have not yet known, the Lord. So now we can just pray if we have any prayer requests in this group.
Please pray for Jackie. He's been pulling an all-nighter. He has barely slept. He has a deadline at or one today. Yeah, it's a court deadline. So yeah, just please pray for him. Just feel like we're not young anymore. It's hard to do these all-nighters. So yeah, just give him, pray that you give him strength, that God will give him, give him strength and energy and to be able to just, just write what he needs to write down in that submission. Yeah, thank you.